This morning I have a passage in beginning in the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament. If you'll turn with me to the second chapter of Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets. And just a few verses in this second chapter has been before me for the last few days, and been wrestling with the Lord and asking the Lord to just lead me and guide me in what is to be said. And what is impressing me, and since I've read this and been meditating on it, is the interaction between the prophet and between God and how he handled it. And it is something that is an example for us and as we go down this road. Habakkuk, if you read the first chapter, was bringing out his petitions to the Lord, that he was seeing so much wickedness and idolatry in Judah. He was questioning how God could allow this to happen. He was troubled. He said, Lord, do you see what's going on? Do you see the situation? And I think many of us today have similar feelings as we look at the world and the condition it's in. We look at the status of the church and the condition it's in. I'm talking about the universal church, the church world, the status it's in. And Lord, do you see what's going on? Do you see? And he was troubled. And picking up the reading with the first verse, he says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. He's standing upon his watch, kind of intimates that his patience and constancy and resolution to hear what God, to wait and weather the time that God would answer, as a watchman would do. I need answers. I need, Lord, I need you to speak to me. To get away from the fray and the worldly things and to isolate ourselves. I know Brother Ron, it's impossible to get away. We're so busy and tied up in the family and this and that. I understand that. But there are times that we can steal away a few moments. There are times when we can be quiet. Maybe it's in our car going to work, or maybe it's just doing our job. Maybe we can be sitting at our desk. Or maybe we could be in school, but our mind goes to the Lord. It doesn't need to be a long, drawn out thing, but just a moment. And our minds go to the Lord and say, Lord, please, I'm waiting for an answer. I'm waiting for you. I want you to speak to me. I want to know what it is. You hear the prophet say, I will separate. I'll go on the watchtower. Oh, Lord, help us. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And I find this emblematic of the Lord. He said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. That a casual observance, you can't miss the message. That looking at it, even in a casual, I see it. It's plain. Talk to us, Lord, in plain English. Speak to us, Lord, exactly what we need to hear. What I hear sometimes from some preachers, what passes as preaching is pablum. It's about how you feel and how your marriage feels and this and that and the other. And that's all okay, but that's not the word. Lord, make it plain. What do I need to do to attain eternal life? What is it, Lord, that you want from me? What is it? Praise God. Write the vision and make it plain upon the tables. So even the casual observer can't miss it. He understands what the word says and what it means. for the vision is yet for an appointed time. It's not right now, but it's coming. It's not yet, but it's coming. In my timetable, it's coming. The vision is coming, praise God. And I say today, Lord, what is the vision? What is the vision? In many of these corporations, I remember being back in the corporate world, and there's some, I don't know, 25 years ago or so, but one of the things we had to do was what I thought was just a waste of time. Where do you think you're going to be in 5 years? And I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, I'll be honest with you, but where are you going to be in 5 years? And write a vision for your organization. What's your vision? What's your vision? Well, Jesus gave us a very clear vision. And it is, he's coming back. Amen? Jesus is coming back. That's the vision. That's the vision. It starts right there. Jesus is coming back. Praise God. And the question is, do we believe it? Do we really believe it? We read these scriptures and we've read them at funerals and sometimes in the preaching, in Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep, in other words, who are dead, in Jesus will God bring with him. Remember what, listen to this, asleep in Jesus. Asleep in Jesus. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. One day the eastern sky is going to split, and Jesus is going to step out on a cloud. And the trumpet is going to sound so loud, but only those in Christ Jesus will hear the trumpet sound. And we're going to be gone, my brother and sister. We're going with the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the question for me and you today is, do you believe it? Amen. Do you believe? Do you really believe it? When I look at the Christian world, sometimes I see this analogy with what's going on today. And it's not, I'm not being political, but talking about climate change, global warming, whatever you want to call it. And the activists and the people that are preaching this stuff don't believe it. Well, how can you say that, brother? Well, look at their actions. They're driving around in their SUVs. They're flying on their private jets all over the world. They're emitting more emissions, according to, you know, than most average people would do in a year, just one flight. And the climate activists say, well, the earth is warming and a couple degrees and the polar ice caps are going to melt and it's going to flood all the coastal cities. But yet, they're buying homes on the coast. Beautiful mansions on the coast. Insurance companies don't believe it. They would stop insuring all the homes along the coast. They would stop. We can't insure you anymore. The global warming, the water's coming up and it's going to flood. We can't insure them anymore. They don't believe it. And sometimes I wonder about Christians. Do we believe Jesus is coming back? Do we really believe? Because if we did, it would dictate how we live life. It would cause us to behave in a certain manner and say, oh, I got my eyes on the heavenly prize. I know what's coming. And I want to be ready when he comes, praise God. I want to have my bags all packed. I want my lamp full of oil, praise God. I want to be ready when he comes. The sister said, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Praise God. Oh, yes. Oh, Lord, we're citizens of a different country. Amen. We might be citizens of the USA, but we're really citizens of another country, whose builder and maker is God. Praise God. We have no continuing city here, but we look for one to come. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us this morning to really believe, to really exercise in the faith. Oh, God, draw us closer to you. Oh, Lord, help us to keep our eyes on the prize. It's not over when we just pass from this life. There's an eternity to face. Oh, thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad this morning we have a hope beyond the grave? A hope that maketh not ashamed. It's a purifying hope. A hope that causes us to behave in a certain way. A hope that causes us to wash our garments daily in the blood of Jesus and to stay close to him, praise God, and to look for his soon coming. We get so caught up in life sometimes and what we're going to do and what's going to happen and this and that and the other and we're missing it. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us. In Romans, would you turn with me to Romans, the 13th chapter? Paul believed in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus to take us to heaven. He believed it could happen in his generation. How long has it been? 2,000 years, plus or minus? And he would return any time. And he said he'd return at a time when no one would suspect. In Luke, Jesus said, you don't have to turn to this, but hold your place in Romans. Luke says, let your loins be girded. This is Jesus speaking about, and your light's burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that they may, when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh and shall find watching, verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them. So blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. But ye therefore ready, be ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Don't get caught up with looking for the assembling of signs. The signs are there. We're not looking for the signs. We're looking for Jesus. Amen. Amen? We're looking for Christ to return. The signs only tell us he's coming soon. It's happening. What's around us is just verifying that God is coming. Our hope of eternal life, it's coming. Praise God. And here, Paul's exhortation to the church at Rome, 11th verse. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Dawn is almost here. What does that song say? Joy comes in the morning. Oh, praise God. Oh, what great joy. We're going to receive him. When the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ, I hope we're alive. I think there's a chance that Jesus is so near. I think there's a chance we could be here when he comes. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Praise God. Oh, praise God. Jesus comes. Praise the Lord. Let me read on. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That last verse, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Sometimes we put such importance on the things of this life. Not that they're not important, I'm not saying that, but we give them such high priority. When at a moment's notice the trump could sound, or we could be ushered out of here to eternity. Are we living in fear? And that's not it. That's not it. Brother Dennis said something that just touched me during his teachings in the adult class this morning. He says, one night I was laying awake. I couldn't fall asleep. And the Lord was dealing with me. And I'm just paraphrasing what he said, that do I have my priorities right? Lord, would you deal with us? Do we have our priorities right? Are we looking for his soon appearing? Well, you know, I got to take care of this, and I got this activity, and I want to see this happen, and I'm working with my kids here, and there's this thing we want to accomplish, and blah, 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 blah. And God's not saying, no, don't not do any of that stuff. But remember, it's second priority. It doesn't come first. Oh, praise the Lord. If he comes, are you ready? We don't like to ask that question. Anybody think of that question? Sometimes we do. Sometimes the Lord deals with us. Are we ready? Have we exercised? Have we given it all we've got? Are we ready? Are we baptized in the Holy Spirit yet? Are we born again? The baptism. Controversial today. I know people may not agree. That's okay. You don't have to agree. It doesn't change the word. The word is the word. Lord, help us. This is not, you know, I've heard expressions of people's, well, when I get to the pearly gates, I'm going to negotiate with God, and you're not going to do any such thing. You're going to stand before the most high, most righteous God, and he has done given you every opportunity to come to salvation. You're hearing the word this morning. God's put people in your path. He's put you in situations, and he's spoken to you, I'm sure. He's witnessed to you, praise God. It says, even the unbeliever, in Romans, it says the nature manifests itself, and nature reveals itself of the greatness of God. And here this scripture, Paul writes in Romans, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Is there any controversy about that? I can't see it. Does he dwell in you? What do you think is going to raise, if you pass before the Lord comes, what is going to raise your body out of the grave? The Spirit. What is going to cause you to lose gravitation if you're alive when he comes? It's the Spirit. Amen? Brother Ron, are you trying to make me fearful? No, I'm trying to say, wake up. Put your priorities in the right spot. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the baptism. You need it to dwell in you, to walk and live the life. We put a lot of emphasis on receiving, but there's all more emphasis on walking in the Spirit. And you can't walk in the Spirit unless you receive the Spirit. You have good intentions, wonderful thoughts. Oh, I want to do right. That's wonderful. But without the power, you're going to fail. So do you believe? Do you believe? Oh, I believe in the rapture. But do you believe you're going in the rapture? Oh, Lord, help us this morning. Very pointed question. I know some of us may be put on edge. Maybe some of us say, I don't want to hear this. This is making me uncomfortable. That's okay. I hope the Holy Spirit makes you more uncomfortable in a good way to say, Lord, what is missing? What do I need? What are you saying to me, oh God? His promises are real and they're true. And we don't seek the Holy Spirit out of desperation. Oh, Lord. Oh, no. It's out of love. It's a gift that he freely gives. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? No respecter of persons. No respecter of persons. Well, what about my past? I'm not qualified. I've had this. I have all these. I could give you a resume that would just make someone blush. It's so bad. No, that doesn't matter. Because when we accept the atonement of his blood, when we say, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Cover me with your precious blood. Our sins are washed away. And God says, I have no recollection of that sin. It's gone. There's no evidence here. It's gone when he's looking at heaven. That sin is gone. It's been washed. It's been cleansed. It's been removed by the blood. And you don't have to feel guilty about it. It's done. It's over. It's time to walk in newness of life and say, oh, Lord, fill me with your Holy Ghost power. Oh, Lord, strengthen me. Yes, we have failures and faults. And we go through low moments in our faith. Absolutely, that happens. Every one of us can attest to that. But oh, praise God, we have a God whose mercies are new every day. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. You and I would hold a grudge. You and I would say, well, you know, you really hurt my feelings the other day. And yeah, I've forgiven you, but I remember what you did. God says, oh, no, I don't know what you're talking about. It's gone. Praise the Lord. Lord, help us. The vision will surely come. Though it tarry, wait for it. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. He is coming back. Oh, praise God. And we welcome his return. We say, even so, Lord, come quickly. Maybe one caveat. Lord, wait a little bit longer till my family all gets under the umbrella. You understand what I'm saying? We pray for our families. We pray for our loved ones. We pray for the lost in this world. And God wants to use us. His message is to the church this morning. Make it plain. I don't think I can speak any plainer. Make it plain. Where do you stand? If Jesus were to come this afternoon, where do you stand? Where do you stand? Have you asked for forgiveness for your sins? Have you pled the blood of Jesus? Have you tried to make things right? Oh God, would you help us this morning? I'm going to close right here. Brother, sister, would you come forward? We're looking for his return. What is the Holy Spirit saying to us this morning? Church, it's time to get ready. It's time to get ready. The message has been coming. It's time to get ready. God is speaking to us. You got family members that are out of the ark of safety. You got family members that are not walking with the Lord. You know, today I hear pastors on eulogies put everybody in heaven. Everybody's okay. Everybody's good. They're building buildings up in heaven and they're serving coffee, whatever they're doing. You've heard all kind of expressions, and I'm not trying to be critical of those folks, but we put everybody in heaven. And that's not our job. It's our walk, personal walk with the Lord. It's our relationship with Jesus Christ. What is it real? No, I don't just go to church. I'm not just affiliate. I don't belong to, I'm just belong to that church. I'm not just a good giver or I'm not a faithful brother. It's more than that. I know, praise God, the master of the wind. I know Christ as my personal Savior. There is an intimate relationship with Him. Because of what He did for me, it's so deep in my heart. He saved me. He shed His blood. Died a cruel death on the cross. Knowing that many would reject. Knowing that many would mock. Knowing many that would turn away. And we see the enemy turn loose today in this society. Satanic things that are taking place. More evidence than ever. Oh Lord, help us. Let the church be strong and walk in the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let the church exercise in the Spirit. Let the church take over. Let the church, Lord, be what You called us to be. Not limping into eternity, but walking proudly, praise God, because of the blood of Jesus, because of the strength and power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, touch every heart. Touch every soul. And Peter, he writes, in the last days there shall be mockers, saying, where is the coming of the Lord? Ever since the fathers, the apostles, the disciples passed away, nothing's changed. It's all the same. Where is this coming of the Lord? Oh Lord, it is not Your slackness. It's Your not willing that any should perish. You got kids, family members that are not where they need to be. That ought to be the top of your prayer list. I'm sure it is. Maybe you need to fast. Maybe you need to get deeper and say, Lord, somehow would You touch my son or my daughter, my husband or my wife, because eternity is right here. Oh, praise God. I want to join as we were singing. About the Lamb. He's worthy of it all. I can just imagine those thousands and thousands of angels singing before the throne of grace, worshiping the Lord. Someday we're going to be there with them. Have you ever been in a venue where there's several thousand people that are praising the Lord? We've had an occasion several times, went to a bigger church, and we were traveling vacation, and it was camp meeting, and people came. And there were like 5,000 or 6,000 people in this auditorium at the time. Balcony was packed. We, in fact, couldn't even get in there early. We still ended up in the balcony. and other places too. And it's such a feeling. I can't begin to describe it, but when you're singing at the top of your lungs and you can't hear yourself sing. You know that? We got some folks that they're not loud singers. I used to tease my brother-in-law years ago. He's going to get mad at me. My mother-in-law had a creamer, had a little lip on it and a little, I don't know, kind of a, that you had to press down to open it up. And I was teasing him about how he sang. I said, this is how you sing. You know, just a little bit. And who am I? I was not much of a singer either. You know, I was not much for speaking. But you know, the Holy Spirit works a beautiful work in each and every one of us. I now see him standing up and raising his hands and praising the Lord. And I say, Lord, help us all to be free. It's not how we worship. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to make it's not how we worship, but it's just being free to worship. But these thousands of people were there singing and praising the Lord. And it was so beautiful. Like Brother Lynn testified, he says, you know, it's wonderful we can be in the Lord's presence at home by ourselves. But it's also beautiful when we're all together and the presence of the Lord fills this place. Whether we're 70, 80, 100, 200, or 5,000, it doesn't matter. When the presence of the Lord fills the place, it's a beautiful thing. And I say, Lord, help us. Help us this morning to draw closer. I know you want to make heaven your home. I have no doubt. And the Holy Spirit is challenging us. Are you really putting it all on the line? Are you really giving it your all? Are you sold out and committed to serving Christ? Are you surrendered to his will? Does he dictate your direction? Does he cause you to launch out into the deep? Oh, what blessings there are out there. Lord, help us to get into the deep waters of the Holy Spirit, that he may move us. He may draw us closer. May the Lord's name be praised. Do we have a song?